Hebrews is one of my favorite books. I mean, it's just really a book that's just full of deep, but yet basic and simple truths. It ties the Old Testament to the New. There's just a lot in Hebrews to deal with. Just about everything. He covers a lot of subjects too. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. We're not going to cover it all this morning. We're going to just take one verse, one little verse. And the first verse out of Hebrews says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Well, we don't need to go any farther. I mean, we're just going to look at that today for a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good music. Thank you for the good word here, the scripture. Thank you for the good Sunday school lesson. Pray you'd bless now the word of God. May it have free course in our hearts. May it be received, remembered, and kept, and Lord, applied in our view of the world, the gospel, the message, and your work in this world, in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to have understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God has spoken. That's what I want to talk about today. He's always spoken. God has always spoken. He's still speaking now. Don't just think because this world's so evil and dark that God has quit speaking. I think He's speaking louder now than He ever has in a lot of other generations. The deal is, who's listening? Yeah, God's speaking. And, I know there's a difference. I know I'm older, and I just understand more. I listen more. I can understand more than I could when I was younger. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot more going out now. In spite of all the apostasy, in spite of all the stuff that's out there that's not right and not of God, there's still a lot of truth going out. And you can find it. You can hear it. God will speak to you if you'll seek Him. He said, if you'll seek me with all of your heart,
exactly,
you'll find me. Not hiding from you. Sometimes it's harder to find Him because of all the fog and the muck and the water in this world that you can't see through. All the other voices drowning Him out. It's hard to hear an individual voice when everybody's talking at once. And the music's turned up full volume. And that's kind of how it is in this world. And in our lives, we've got so much noise that it's hard to hear that small, still voice. But God has always spoken. God, who at sundry times... Well, what does that mean? That means in a lot of parts. It wasn't given all at once. It was given here a little and there a little. A line upon line and precept upon precept, God's spoken to man ever since the Garden of Eden that way. He's given a little here and a little there. From this one and that one. In this language and that language. From these people and that people. God's always spoken in sundry times. At many different times. Not all at once. There's times when it was a big deal. Like when Moses got the Ten Commandments and God came down on the mountain in front of all the children of Israel and God spoke and they heard His voice. That is a big deal. But it's not always been that way. God's spoken to us at sundry times. It means no revelation of the whole was given to any one prophet or person. Now by that I don't mean that they didn't understand the whole purpose of God and the plan of salvation. The Savior has been it's been known about the Savior and the substitutionary death and the atonement through the Lamb of God. That's been known since the Garden of Eden. Abraham knew that. I'm not saying that no prophet or nobody has ever known the whole story of that. But how it all fit together and how it was going to unfold through time, none of those people knew it. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 13, verse 17, He said, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Think about it. All of them received some word from God, but not the whole revelation of what was to come. Adam knew. Enoch. You know, the seventh from Adam. The one that was translated and didn't see death. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch. You can read his preaching in the book of Jude in the New Testament. You can see how much he understood. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's the seventh from Adam. So he knew. See? But they didn't know how it was all going to unfold in the process. God kept it hidden in a mystery. But when Jesus came, and it's hard to stay away from that, because the next verse says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And that's the whole thing about this. God's spoken through all of the millennia here since he created man. But he's spoken to us differently. Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Israel and Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets. And it happened over thousands of years. God spoke at sundry times. Now that's what that means. Through a lot of people, through a lot of time, through different places and different periods of time and different ways. Then he spoke in divers manners. He spoke to Adam in the garden. He came in the cool of the day and he spoke to Adam. We know that he said, "Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou?" We know that's one thing he did say to him. That was after the sin and everything. But he came and talked with Adam. He spoke in different ways. Before the flood, he spoke to Noah. Does it say that he spoke to him in an audible voice? The Bible doesn't say that. Has God ever spoken to you? Yeah, of course he has. Hopefully, he speaks to you often. But it's not the superstitious kind of stuff that everybody believes. God speaks to your heart. He speaks to your soul. He communicates with you things that words can't. It's a much better way for God to speak. He speaks in divers manners. Always has. Sometimes he has spoken in an audible voice. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Jacob. And he spoke to Joseph in a dream. Remember that? And he spoke to Moses from a burning bush. He spoke to Moses with a still small voice. He spoke to Moses thundering from Mount Sinai. See there? He spoke in divers manners, different ways he spoke. So we just speak, we speak. That's about it. We can write, but that's about the only way we can communicate. I can't telepathically transmit something to you. I can't speak to your heart. All I can do is blurt out words, and you hear it vibrate your eardrums, and if you don't interpret it, and if God don't do something there, then it's just noise. God speaks in different ways, so he can speak in divers manners. He can get a message across to you, me, all of mankind. He's always done that. He's not limited to words. He can communicate to you through the Spirit, bearing witness with your spirit. You just know. That's pretty wonderful if you think about it. He spoke to Balaam from a donkey's mouth. How about that? Would you listen if your donkey was talking to you? He spoke to different prophets in visions. Daniel, Ezekiel, others. They saw things in visions, like dreams sort of. But I mean, he communicated things to them in a different way. He did do that. It's clear in the Bible that he did. He, to certain prophets, by examples, like Jeremiah's girdle. Remember when he had to take that girdle and go 500 miles and bury it? And then go back so many months later and dig it up? God spoke to them through that. Because Jeremiah had that dirty girdle. He said, this is just what God's going to do to you. You ever read that? Did you ever read about Isaiah's 3-year evangelistic campaign that where he wore no clothes? Where he prophesied naked? Yes. Oh. You never read that? Seth's looking at me like, what? No, it's there. He did it. Say, what in the world? Well, see, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament. He did speak through visions, and he did speak to people through deals like that. So, if you believe in visions, do you believe in that kind of evangelism now? I mean, no, this is the Old Testament. God, what's the key word there? Spake in times past. He did it in times past. He's not speaking that way now. He has spoken to us through His Son. That's all you need to hear, listen to right now. That's all you need to worry about. What He did in times past was a prelude to the very thing of Himself coming to dwell among men. God spoken by angels. Oh, He spoke by angels. Angels appeared to people and spoke to them. Hagar, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Balaam and his donkey, but his donkey seen the angel first. Balaam was so stubborn, it had to come down to the very last straw before Balaam saw and listened. The donkey was more spiritual than the prophet. The donkey had ears to hear more than the prophet did. That poor donkey. All the children of Israel at once, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 4, an angel spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Judges chapter 2, verse 4. God spoke to him. An angel. Then there was Gideon. Hail, thou mighty man of valor. Who said that? Angel. Manoah and his wife. That was Samson's mother and father. Angel appeared to both of them. More than once. Elijah. The angel appeared to Elijah. Gad and David. David, when he saw the destroying angel, he was afraid to inquire of the Lord. David saw that angel, and so did Gad. And God communicated to him. Joseph, an angel visited Joseph. An angel visited Mary. To tell them something. Very important. God spoke in time past. In divers matters, sundry times and divers manners. He's spoken through all these things. Through an angel. To Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Zacharias in the temple. The shepherds out on the minding their flocks. The angel of the Lord appeared unto them. Saying. He had an announcement to make. He had a communication from God. An angel did. Peter in prison. Peter went over and said, get up and get out of here. One time he just opened the doors and Peter went out. Next time he had to go in there and shake him and say, come on. Because Peter wasn't going nowhere. So God did that. Philip. Before he went down to where the eunuch was, before he was moved, carried by the Spirit down there, an angel appeared to Philip and spoke to him. Told him, go down to, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Philippi. No, that ain't right. The Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot. That's where Philip was going. But an angel spoke to Philip to tell him to go down there. And there's others besides. I mean, that's not an exhaustive list. It's just to prove the fact that the Bible shows that God spoke in divers manners. And He spoke through angels. God's always also spoken to mankind very clearly through judgments for sin and blessing for righteousness. The flood was a very loud and clear communication from God that He was not going to tolerate sin, but up to a certain point. When every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually, God destroyed the world with a flood. Well, that says something, don't it? It says a lot of things. God destroyed Sodom and the cities of the plain. When that angel came and told Abraham, two angels and the Lord came and told Abraham what was going to happen. That spoke volumes, didn't it? History is full of the testimony of God speaking out and acting against wickedness and also blessing righteousness. There's plenty of examples throughout history of people who, when they lived righteous before God, God blessed them, blessed their nation. They prospered. They had peace. And things went well for them. So God speaks through angels. He speaks through prophets. He can speak in a voice if He wants to. He can just speak in a way that there's no way to describe how He does it. But He gets the message across to your soul. He speaks through all of these things. But now, in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And He just goes on and on there. But let's just consider for a minute here that He doesn't speak at sundry times in divers manners now. That was times past. Don't expect God to speak to you through an angel.
Yeah.
No. Now, that is superstitious.
Yeah.
It's superstition. It's superstitious people who believe that. God doesn't speak to people through angels now.
Right.
Now that's very clear. I'm dogmatic about that.
Yes.
Paul warned the Galatians, if I or an angel from heaven preach to you any other gospel, don't you believe him. It's not happening. If he says he's an angel from heaven and he's talking to you, you better run. It ain't an angel from heaven.
That's right.
He's lying to you. How's God going to speak to you? Through His Son. Through the Word of God. The written Word. From the living Word. That's how He's going to speak to you. No more sundry times and divers manners. That was for times past.
Right.
So there's no more excuse for confusion now that God has spoken to us through His Son. Everything's cleared up. When Jesus came, you know, He said, search Scripture. You think in them you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. I am the resurrection and the life. Mary said, you know, we know, or Martha said, we know that when the resurrection He'll live. He said, I am the resurrection.
That's right.
I mean, it's come to you now. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
He made it clear. He's spoken to us through His Son, not all these other things. Now, there's a lot of confusion. Obviously, we've been reading in Matthew, and it's amazing now, though, how little the religious leaders understood.
Yeah.
The ignorant masses of the people and the little children could understand. And the publicans and the harlots could understand Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they couldn't. They wouldn't. No more representatives. He came Himself. He didn't send somebody else. God came to this world Himself and spoke to us and lived before us and left the record. He didn't send an angel. He came Himself. He didn't send a prophet. He came Himself. He didn't give you some other man to listen to, some seer or some prophet. He came Himself. Matthew 21, verse 33. Through 37, Jesus said, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. The last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they'll reverence my son. No more types and shadows. You know, it's interesting to study the Old Testament to see from our perspective, now that he has come and he has spoken, to see them all there. See all that all those righteous men and prophets desired to see and understand, but they couldn't. We can see it and we can understand it. And it's hard for us to understand how they didn't understand. Well, they didn't. Jesus hadn't come. Jesus hadn't spoken himself. But now he has. So really, you know, Seth talked about don't dwell in the shadows or trust in the shadows. Well, you know, why would you be so excited about all the shadows and types in the Old Testament when you can see the real deal in the New Testament? Now, I believe in the Old Testament, and Jesus is there everywhere. And it thrills me to see it and read about it and study about it, like with David. But we've got something much better. Hebrews talks about better promises, a better covenant, a better sacrifice. Yes. And so we shouldn't thrill over the shadows and the types. We ought to thrill over the fact that he's real and he has come. And no more bits and pieces. The whole thing is now revealed. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, that meant the deal is done. The plan of God, this is it. This is the culmination of it right here. The sacrifice has been made. Redemption is done. Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
He took our place. And then he rose from the dead so that we could rise from the dead. Be risen with him. He conquered death. He didn't just conquer sin. He conquered death. He conquered sin on the cross. He conquered death in the resurrection. See? There's two parts to the deal. See? Now we know the whole plan of God to redeem men from their sin. There's still secret things that belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. Moses said that in the law way back in Deuteronomy. The secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, he said. The words of Jesus were pure and clear. These things are not hidden. The things are not hidden about salvation, about redemption, about God's way of conquering sin and death. None of that is hidden. Y'all understand that? The only thing that's mysterious to us is how this is going to play out here in the next few little bit. Maybe the next few hours. Maybe the next few days. What heaven's going to really be like. God's got a few surprises left for us. A few. But the plan of redemption, God's plan, the kingdom of God is revealed. Yes. He told it all through those parables. And I preached here a couple of years ago on the kingdom. And oh, man, that's a subject you really need to study and know about. Everything Jesus talked about was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is likened to, listen to me, it's like a man. It's like a seed. It's like he told all these different parables to get you to understand what he's doing, what God's been doing all this time from Adam to Abraham to Moses all the way up. Now he's sent his son. And the plan of redemption is complete, see. The only thing left is for him to come for the purchased possession.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Matthew 13, verse 34 through 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Want to know what his parables were about? And his disciples said, why do you speak to him in parables? He said, because, just like the scripture says, having eyes to see, they see not. Having ears to hear, they hear not. He said, I speak to them, those people, in parables, because they won't listen. He spoke to, like you were talking this morning, speaking to his people or speaking to the rebels who will never come to him, who swore off and said, I'll never want to know God. So he just told them the parable, and they didn't understand it. There are actually people who claim to believe the Bible, who teach people that the words of Jesus are not for us. I've heard this through the years from different directions. But they're out there. I know some of them. And they're blatant and open with it. I read one the other day, and a guy said he wouldn't recommend anybody his specifications for referring somebody to another church or to be under the... First thing they had to believe was that they could not teach salvation from John the Baptist or Jesus or the 12 disciples. They had to teach salvation from Paul only. That's a big thing going around, yeah. Pauline. They absolutely believe that you're not to teach salvation from anything Jesus said, or that his disciples said, or that John the Baptist said. The only way you can learn the true way of salvation is to read what Paul said. Where did Paul get Paul? They call it Paul's gospel. Where did Paul get his gospel? Paul said, I count everything but dung. I count it but dung. I count it all loss. For who? Christ. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. This says here in the first... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold it, Mike. Hold it. They claim that we cannot know or teach the way of salvation from the words of Christ himself or his disciples, but must rely on Paul alone to understand the way to be saved. Now, it's hard for me to comprehend how somebody could read the Bible and be in such error and deceit and think themselves to, at the same time, to have comprehended some higher level of understanding. You know, teachings like that have all the mark of the devil himself. I couldn't get the words to come out of my mouth to tell a church full of people or anybody, don't pay attention to the words of Christ. Merciful heavens to Betsy, what in the world? Or that Christ did not teach us the way of salvation. That's what he came for. That's what he spoke for. Hath in these latter times spoken to us by his Son. That's why he came. That's all he talked about.
That's right.
That's what he showed in everything he done. But these hyper-dispensationalists, they separated all out where Christ came for the Jews only. And it was like a shuffling of the deck whenever Christ died and the Jews rejected him. And so then the leftovers got sent to the Gentiles. That ain't the way it was at all.
No,
you can find where God was going to give the gospel to the Gentiles in the Old Testament, way back in the beginnings of the revelation of the gospel message. And all through, we've been reading in Matthew, and all through the book of Matthew, I see time and again where Jesus himself referred to it. And one of the parables was that he said that it'll be taken from you and given to a nation much more worthy. I mean, he said, you're going to turn it down. He knew they were going to turn away from him. Jesus wasn't taken by surprise when he came to his own, and his own received him not.
Right.
No.
It was always in the plan of God. He chose Abraham and he said, I'm going to make a great nation of you and I'm going to reveal myself to the world through you and I'm going to send the Savior through you. Then somebody else is going to take over from there. Mm-hmm. And it's been the time of the Gentiles. Until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, we're just about there.
That's right.
But the gospel, God's message, the kingdom of God went beyond the Jews. A lot of misunderstanding there. I take every word of that Jesus spoken as special. Because it was God speaking to man here on this earth out of a body of flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and every word he said was pure. And it thrills me to read. We just read, every time I read the Gospels, I'm more amazed with him. I'm more impressed, if you want to use that kind of word. I don't know, that's kind of cheap word to use, but I'm more in awe of him. Because he, such wisdom, such ways he had about him. We read this morning where they came to him and said, we got a question. Yeah. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave to thee this authority? And he said, I have a question for you. He said, I'll ask you a question. If you answer me, then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. And he just said, the baptism of John, was it of God? Was it of men or was it of God? Checkmate. That was it. They said, well, we can't tell. They said, he's got us here. You know, if we say no, he's going to. And if we say yes, well, then, you know, we're going to lose either way. Well, we ain't answering you. And he said, then I'm not answering you. And then he turned to the people and laid it on them. A few verses down, he said, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.
Yeah, no, sure did.
Don't tell me not to listen to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't tell me that he can't show me how to be saved. Don't use the words of Jesus to teach people how to be saved. What about John chapter 3? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. Don't tell them that. Jesus said that. That was to the Jews. That ain't for you. Are you kidding me? What is the matter with people? To borrow a little from what's ahead here, let's go to, I'm going to read it. You can go there too, it's right close, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But we can refute all of that real easily with this right here. Hebrews chapter 1 is all about how he spoke in times past, in sundry times, and divers manners. He spoke to us by the prophets and the angels and all that. And then he says he's spoken to us by his Son. Now that's the theme of the whole chapter. It goes on and expounds about how he's spoken to us through his Son. He came and spoke to us himself. But then it says, therefore. Now, you know that connects what was before to what he's fixing to say, right? Because of all of that, here's, therefore, because of all that, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Heard from who? Christ.
Right.
We better pay more attention to what Jesus said than anything else. Now, Paul's writings were inspired, and they are the Word of God also. But don't take Paul and divorce him from Jesus and try to make doctrines out of Paul's writings to the exclusion of what Jesus said. If you want to understand Paul's writings correctly, read Jesus first. All this sin and religion and all this born in sin and all of this stuff that they get from Paul's writing. Show me where Jesus said it. Show me one inkling of any kind of nonsense like that in the words of Christ.
Well, so that's why you're not supposed to do that. You don't find it in Paul's and in Jesus, so you got to believe it because Paul said it.
Paul didn't say it either. Paul was preaching. Even Peter said some of the things Paul writes are hard to understand. And men rest them, he said.
Yes.
And they're still doing it.
Sure.
You get straightened out on Paul. I'm talking about Romans 7 and all of the rest of Paul's writing. You get straightened out on that if you'll just read what Jesus said.
That's right.
We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them which heard Him? So who's to have the preeminence in all things in the church? Jesus.
Amen.
Who gets the first and last say? Him. Yep. Whose authority overrides everybody else's authority? Christ.
Amen.
That's right. He's the Master. He's the Savior. He's the Word of God Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Was with God. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. I turned it around, didn't I? The Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. That's who was there when He said, let us create man in our own image. He's the Creator. He's the Lamb of God. He is our Passover. He's our redemption. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if we can't take His Word above any man on any subject, then we're not trusting Him for salvation or anything else.
That's right.
That's the way it is. Yes, I'll take His Word above anybody else's Word on anything, whatever it is.
Amen.
Whatever the subject is, I'll believe Him first.
Amen.
Why would God send His Son to the world and to live and die and not tell us how to be saved?
Right.
That's absurd.
Yes,
I
believe it's some kind of a poisonous twist on Calvinism to believe that God sent His Son into this world, that God was made flesh and dwelt among us just to carry a dead-end message to the Jews who were going to reject Him, and that's all He came for. Oh, my goodness. Now, Paul claimed to have gotten everything he knew from Christ and told us to follow him as he followed Christ. No one can understand what Paul's teaching unless they first understand what Christ taught us while He walked and spake here on earth. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul wrote this. He said, in whom? Who's he talking about?
Christ.
The verse before makes it clear he's talking about Christ. Jesus. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul acknowledged Christ as the head. He acknowledged Him as the source and the fountainhead of everything. Part of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to him. He's not speaking to you. He spoke to the Jews. I've heard that for years. I've heard other preachers years ago. I had one, I think one told me personally, I may have read it that he said it, I don't remember, but he said, you cannot show somebody how to be saved out of the Gospels. That's an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, KJV, Baptist! Soul-winning Baptist. Soul-winning, soul-damning is what that is.
That's true.
Paul even said, you know, I don't want to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. They were saying there, he opened the dialogue with the church at Corinth about them having divisions among them, and some were for Paul, and some were for Apollos, and others of Cephas, and then there were some that were for Christ. He said, this is not right, and you can't do it this way. This is wrong. Christ is the head of the church. The rest of us are nobodies. You listen to Him. And if we're not telling you what He said, don't you listen to us either. So He's spoken to us. Who's spoken to us? God spoke to us through His Son. Through His only begotten Son. Who walked on this earth. Lived a perfect life. overcame sin, overcame death, rose from the dead, and he's coming back for us. Reckon people going to be surprised that said don't listen to him when he comes back? I don't believe that anybody who says you shouldn't listen to him is going to meet him when he comes for the church. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for the word of God and thank you for the truth. And Lord, we pray that you'd guide us and keep us from error like this. Lord, help us to believe it the way the Bible says it and to have right understanding, not be confused. I pray everybody here would understand this. We ought to live in the Gospels. It's, as Peter said, where would we go? Thou hast the words of life, eternal life. Nobody else does. Nobody else can tell us as clearly as we can get it right from the source. Please help us, Lord. Thank you for being you, for what you've done for us. Thank you for coming. And I pray you'd come again soon. Lord, we love you. Pray you bless the word to our heart now in Jesus' name. Amen.